Hello there. Welcome to Bikescape, episode 45, March 25th, 2006.
Excuse me, madam. You're standing still in a no parking zone. If you don't get a move on that body, I'll be forced to give you a ticket. So get with it.
Yeah, get that car out of here. No parking on the dance floor. That's kind of the theme of this podcast. Welcome to Bikescape, everybody. I think on the last Bikescape, almost 3 weeks ago, it's been a long time in between Bikescapes. I told you my wife was sick, and Karen was sick, and little Lillian got sick, and then it was my turn. And so, never got another Bikescape out there. But here's another one. I was hoping that musical Bikescape would sort of carry things through for a while, but some time passed. But we got a good one here, I think so anyway, in my opinion. Golden Gate Park here in San Francisco. Now, this is going to be kind of a show about local issues here in San Francisco, but if you don't live in San Francisco, I don't think you should tune out, because this is something that is got to do with parks and public space, and it's something that happens in every city all over the world. These are issues that happen all the time, but we're going to sort of focus on the San Francisco issue of Golden Gate Park. Everybody knows that a park, what a park is instinctively. A park is a place where it's usually in a big city, and it's a place where you can get away. There's traffic in the city, there's responsibilities, there's people in a hurry, they need to get to work, they need to do this, they need to do that, pick up their kids at childcare, go to the video store, go shopping, whatever it is people do in cities. The park is where all that gets put aside, and you can hear the birds singing, and the trees are growing, it's a green space, and it's a social space where people can get together and put out a blanket, have a picnic, maybe meet the people next door, have a game of pickup softball or soccer or whatever. And it's supposed to be a sylvan area. And I think that Golden Gate Park was conceived in that way. John McLaren, the person who originally visualized and actually planted Golden Gate Park in the sand dunes over 100 years ago, he was against having any kind of motor vehicles or even streetcars or anything in the park. He was very into having a quiet space where people could reflect and be part of nature for a while, and even if it's for a short while. And also, a park is a place where, in the city, people don't have big backyards and they don't have gardens in the front. And you step out of your house, you're on the street right away. And so the park is sort of like a front yard or a backyard for the citizens in the city. And I'm not quite sure what happened in Golden Gate Park. During the freeway revolt in the early 60s, we narrowly avoided having a freeway going right through the panhandle section of the Golden Gate Park. It was going to be called the Golden Gate Freeway. Thank the Lord that didn't happen. But I guess people felt that they were lucky just to have these roads going through the park. And people use the roads to get to the park and to get to museums in the park. But after a while, it sort of became the way to get to the park. And now, I don't know where you live, if you're listening, but California is famous for its love of the automobile, and San Francisco is a bit of an exception to that, but it still holds true. And people really like to drive, even if it's only for a few blocks or just three. You know, the average drive, I think, in San Francisco statistically is about 3 miles, about 4 or 5 kilometers. And you know, the end result has become that people like to drive to the museums in the park, it's become JFK, John F. Kennedy Drive has become a traffic sewer, and people need a place to park, so it fills up with parking, and people are driving really slow looking for a place to park. Anyway, back in 1967, the summer of love, when the hippies reigned supreme over Golden Gate Park, John F. Kennedy Drive was finally closed to cars on Sundays for people to ride their bikes and take a stroll and roller skate, and the Skate Patrol originated in that year. And a lot of things happened that just really transformed the park for about 8 hours a day. Now, after many years of trying, we're looking forward to having Saturdays in the park, free of cars, on JFK Drive. And it's something that's been tried a few times, and it's failed every time up until now, because there's a lot of moneyed interest in the park. There's the museums, and it's the museums that have wanted to keep the park as a parking lot rather than as a park. So I went down to, I tracked down my friend Michael Smith, and Mike and I are really good friends, and you may have heard his voice on an earlier podcast down in L.A. We went down to Bike Summer together. And I don't know if I introduced him as Mike or anything, but his voice showed up a few times in those podcasts. He's known in San Francisco, at least among my group of friends, as Mr. Golden Gate Park. He's been looking out for bicyclist interest in Golden Gate Park for a good 10 years now. And I tracked him down and pulled him out of a bar and got him to talk to me on a rainy street corner in San Francisco on Friday night. So I'm going to go straight to that interview with him.
So is it on?
It's on.
Oh, what are we talking about here?
Oh, so I just pulled Mike Smith out of Cassidy's Bar, the local watering hole for messengers and bicyclists, ne'er-do-wells.
$2 specials, you gotta love it.
Yeah, whatever kind of beer that was.
It was good.
Some kind of lager.
Yeah.
So Mike's been involved in Golden Gate Park issues for how long now?
Well, for many years. I've probably been involved about 7 or 8 years, but this whole issue has gone back 39 years now. And actually, the 40th anniversary of the road closure is happening in just a few weeks. So back in the Summer of Love, when was it?
1967, the Summer of Love.
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently 67. It might have been 60. It must have been 66 because it's the 40th anniversary. Well, actually, 39th anniversary. So back in Summer of Love, people had this idea that, well, you know, you have this beautiful park and want to get more people to the park, and so what should we do? And back then, the car was king. Everybody had to drive everywhere.
Not like nowadays.
Yeah, not like nowadays. But you know, a lot of people thought that, well, wait a second, you should really have the park for people. You know, you should actually close the road to cars, and then you could have all these people recreating, you know, using the way the park is intended to be, bicycling, skateboarding, or just walking, or whatever. And so it was really controversial, but a lot of organizations, including Spur, which is now considered kind of a conservative organization, they were really behind this. And so they closed the road, and it's just this fantastic success. All of these people started showing up, and not only is it a success, but it doesn't really cost the city anything. You know, they didn't have to build any buildings. They didn't have to hire people to.
Probably saves them money, actually.
It does because you know, they don't have to put the money into other programs. You know, people just go to Sunday in the park, and this is great activity.
Yeah, Herb Cain wrote about it, didn't he? I'll find the quote for that.
There are a lot of articles about it, and you know, he talked about just how wonderful it is because in the city it's really hard to escape the noise and the congestion and everything else. And Herb Cain wrote about how you can go to Golden Gate Park on Sundays when there's no cars there, and you could actually hear the birds. And in San Francisco, that's kind of a rare occurrence.
Yeah.
So it's bringing nature back into the city.
Which is what the designer of the park, John McLaren, probably intended. He actually never even wanted to have any kind of railroad in the park or any kind of motorized vehicles.
Yeah, cars were banned in the park for a long time. And then finally, when they did allow cars in, they limited them to 6 miles an hour. just to make sure that people could still use a recreation facility. I guess we have to move here.
We're standing in a garage. It's raining out here outside of Cassidy's pub. Cassidy's Irish Bar. Anybody in Ireland listening, we have Irish bars here too.
Yeah.
But we have to get out of the way for the SUV to go into the building here. Yeah.
Oh, the scraped up SUV. I guess they had trouble getting
coming pretty close to the wall space, there. Yeah. Ouch.
Okay, now we can go back and get it safe. So, ever since they created this this recreation area by closing off the road to cars, people have talked about, well, this is such a great thing, we should extend it to Saturdays, because why should it just be one day of the week? And so it's been talked about and talked about and talked about, and petitions have been filed, and propositions have been put on the ballot, and the supervisors have weighed in and such, but it's never happened. And then finally, there was this big to-do about a parking garage being put in the Golden Gate Park for the museums.
Back in 97. Yeah. There's some museums in the middle of the park along the music concourse there.
Right, right.
They've been there since the beginning of time. But
right, and they really feel that, you know, the whole purpose of the park is to provide free parking for their patrons, and that really goes against what the other people think the park is for. So finally they got this proposition passed to put in a parking garage, and then we tried to get Saturday closure instituted also through a proposition. There were legal shenanigans. The supervisors, what they did is they put two competing ballots, two propositions on the ballot, and people were confused and they didn't know which one to vote for. And so what happens is both of them lost, and the good one lost by just a few percent. So
sure, go ahead.
Okay. So the issue has been dormant for a few years because the museums were saying that, well, okay, we got to build this parking garage, and you can't have the road closure until the parking garage is in. You know, once the parking garage is in, then there's plenty of parking, of course. Well, the parking garage opened up in October now. It's about 5 months ago. And so people are saying, well, now that the parking garage is here, everybody's been saying that, well, we can have this road closure once the parking garage is in, let's do it. And so we've been meeting with the supervisors, and we already have a majority of the supervisors who are going to vote for this, which is great. But interestingly, the museum...
I should say the supervisors in San Francisco are the legislative body of the government there. It would be called the city council in most other cities.
Right, but, right. The ones who vote on it.
Right.
But the museums, they've come out against it again. So they're being really... difficult to deal with, because they said that, okay, we'll support Saturday closure, you know, once the garage is in, and then all of a sudden they're saying that, well, wait a second, you know, we think that the park should be a parking lot for the museums and not actually for recreational use. Right. But the thing is, we have the majority of the supervisors already, and we haven't even talked to the other five yet. Once we talk to the other five, we'll get more of them on board. And so it really looks like it's going to happen, and it's supposed to happen in Memorial Day weekend. That'll be the first Saturday. Be a trial period for the whole summer until November, and then after that we expect it to continue. So it's looks like it's finally happening after 39 years.
Oh, that's great. That's really wonderful. So let's look at some of the So you're calling up your. We're asking people to call their supervisors, I guess.
We will be. Right now, we're trying to figure out actually, how best to craft the legislation. So what happens is, you know, they write the legislation, and then you got to talk to a lot of people to figure out, okay, well, what's your issue, and can we incorporate that into the legislation? So that's what we're doing right now, and we're trying to get more supervisors on board. But then what we're going to really need is a lot of people to support this, because the supervisors, they always want to know that they're doing the right thing, that they're doing what the voters want.
Yeah, there's some talk among the people who are against the Saturday closure that we'd be going, that the supervisors would be pulling some kind of end run around the election that happened back in what, 98 or something like that.
Right.
How do you answer that? How do you argue that when you're writing a letter to the editor or talking to a supervisor?
Yeah, well, actually, you see what they're saying is that people voted on this before, but what happened is there were two propositions on the ballot that sounded kind of the same, mm-hmm. and so it split the vote.
Right.
But we've taken polls, professional polls, and we found out the vast majority of San Franciscans want this. And so we're completely fine with putting on the ballot again. So what we want to do is have this trial period happen, you know, we'll show everybody how great it is to have this road closure on Saturdays as well as Sundays, and then have people vote on it, and we know that they'll vote for it.
Oh, so after 6 months it goes on the ballot.
Well, we could, yeah. And that's what even the conservative people are saying, is that, well, the people should vote on it after the trial period. And, you know, we'd be fine with that. But what we're going to find is that after the six-month trial period, everybody's going to see that this is such a great thing that why bother spending the money on a campaign? You know, we're willing to do it, but, you know, why bother? So the main thing is to get the trial period going. And because right now people are saying that, oh, you know, there'd be traffic congestion and children will die and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're just making up all these things. But all you have to do is enact it, and then people will see that there's almost no problems with it, and it's going to be really popular, just like Sunday closure is.
I think what we should start doing, this is just my opinion, is we should stop calling it Sunday and Saturday closure, but actually opening. We're opening the park.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a difficult thing because, you know, why is it so car-oriented? You know, why are we talking about closing the road when actually what we're doing is getting far more people there? And so now it's actually called Healthy Saturdays because what we're trying to do is we're trying to get people to be more active. You know, right now there's this huge problem with obesity and with diabetes and such. And what we're really trying to do is provide a place where people can be outside, where it's just this natural activity. And right now, kids in San Francisco don't have a good place to go on weekends.
And asphalt. You know, it's nice to have asphalt where you can ride a skateboard or teach your kid to ride a bike or whatever.
Right. Or even walk, because there's these great walking paths there, too. And they're just much more popular when there's not a lot of cars around.
And the Bikescape angle here is that it's public space.
Yeah.
And that this, that what, how is it as a society? This is, this goes for people in Ireland or Italy or anybody listening in any city, not just San Francisco. But how do we define our public space, and what is it we want to use it for, especially a park?
Right. Well, the big thing is also that it doesn't cost anything. You know, anybody can go in there. Mm-hmm. And with the museums, it's kind of a problem because not only do they show a bunch of art that a lot of people don't really care about because it's, you know, the museums are about art from a couple hundred years ago. But the big thing is that anybody can go to the road closure because it's free. It's available to anybody. And it's one of the few city programs that is available to everybody.
Yeah, and it's a great social space too.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I know a lot of people from there. One of the main people behind it, David Miles, he's a skater and his family has grown up there. He met his wife there, and it's just been, you know, such a huge part of his life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if people are in their cars, they're only interacting with other people in their cars. But if you go to the JFK Drive, there's people everywhere. There's people picnicking. There's people walking.
They talk to each other.
Yeah. You sit down next to somebody. You can
crash into each other sometimes.
Right. So it's completely different than really anything else in the city. It's just one of the few places where, you know, you just sit down and you can mingle with people.
Yeah. That's what I like about it.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else we need to say?
Oh, there's another car coming.
Yes. Watch out for that car. Is there any... Are there any issues? I can edit all this out, but...
Well, I think a really big thing is that whenever you try to change things, people freak out, you know. They think that, oh, you know, this is going to be horrible, there's going to be traffic jams and this and that. And it always turns out that, no, it's usually people have a good idea, and you enact it, and then it's great for everybody. And an example of this is that at Fisherman's Wharf, you know, this big tourist destination, they proposed putting a streetcar line using these 50, 60, 70-year-old historic streetcars. And the merchants were like, oh, that'd be horrible having these tracks in the street, and, you know, tourists won't come then and such. And they did end up putting it in, and it's just been an overwhelming success. And now all the merchants are saying that, oh, you got to expand it. You know, it's the greatest thing ever. And it's a really common thing in San Francisco. You know, you think it's a really liberal town, but actually people are always worried about change. But it turns out that...
And how it affects commerce.
Well, commerce, just, you know, people just make up reasons for why it would be a problem. And the thing is, when you have a good idea, like, the, you know, having this road closure, like, been working great for 39 years, and the Saturday road closure is going to work well, too. And for the museums and such, it'll bring more people in, because if you look at Sundays, there's just more people in the park.
Right, yeah. And you can fit more people in the park.
Yeah.
Without the cars.
Right. I mean, why should it be used for, you know, someone to park in and then they, you know, they leave that area? Instead, we'd like to see people staying in that area because it is one of the nicest areas in the park.
Right. A place you go to rather than drive through,
Yeah. People use it for commuting and such, and, you know, that's not why we have this huge swath of land dedicated for recreational use. It's supposed to be for a particular purpose, and that's for people to enjoy.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mike.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, so we're standing here now in front of the skating place, which is the little paved-off area just off JFK Drive where David Miles sets up his sound system. You can hear that back there. And people are dancing and skating, and it's a really great party. Every week you see the same people, well, a small core of the same people, and then a lot of other people show up. And then behind me is JFK Drive here. And on JFK Drive, you've got... Just within sight, I see maybe about 100 cyclists going by of all different ages, kids. There's a little kid with training wheels there. There's a couple riding quietly down the road. People on mountain bikes, road bikes, cruisers, a little electric bike here. It's just a beautiful scene. It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. It's supposed to rain tomorrow, so everybody's making the best of it. People are sitting on the hill with their dogs, watching the skaters. There's a guy popping a wheelie through the skaters right now. And at 6 o'clock, what happens? The cops come in and they take down the barricades and the cars start rolling through and the party's over. So it's one of those things kind of like critical mass or something where the public space actually gets transformed just by the absence of the cars and the addition of just people on foot, people on skates, people on skateboards, and people on bikes. Human-powered transportation has a way of just turning a normal space into a social space. And it turns a space that where everybody's isolated in their cars into a social space where people are interacting with each other, talking and listening to music and dancing. And it's what a park is supposed to be, in my opinion. Yeah, so you're sitting here eating some ice cream in the park here on, what's your name?
I'm Gloria.
Gloria?
I'm Ozgul.
Ozgul? And little...
Sabri,
she's what, 3, 4? She's
6.
Oh my god. So, why do you come here on Sunday afternoons in the park?
Well, the weather is beautiful. And we live close by. And we're not working. We don't work on Sundays.
Yeah. And you don't go to school on Sundays either, yeah.
And we like to watch them dance.
Yeah, you can only do that on Sundays. You can't do it on the rest of the week, huh?
No, I can't.
Yeah. So would you be interested in seeing Saturday closure as well on the...
Yeah, that would be really nice. I think it's good for the families that have some place to go where there's no cars. They can practice riding their bicycle. They don't have to worry about getting hit, and then the road is kind of long and they have a lot of space to go back and forth. It is good for families. We need a place like this for families. If not, we're going to move out of the city just like everybody else.
Yeah, you don't...
With kids.
People
yeah.
in the city don't have backyards,
That's
do they?
That's right. No, we don't have a backyard. We have an apartment building.
And if you grow up in the suburbs, you have, like, you know, cul-de-sacs you can ride your bike on or something, but in the
yeah.
city, you can't just ride down Fulton Street.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the city and I had a backyard, but we don't have a backyard. But when I was a kid, I had a backyard.
Yeah.
But not today. It's too expensive.
How do you... Do you know how to ride a bike on two wheels yet?
Uh-huh.
How did you learn? Did you learn here?
No.
No? Where did you learn?
From my uncle.
From your uncle?
Yeah.
Where did you go to learn?
In the courtyard in our apartment building.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, so
he says you first put one handle, one leg of those things up, and then put your leg on the ground, and then give a big...
And you just give it a big push, and next thing you know, you're riding. You got a nice little Raleigh bike there, too. A little BMX, huh? All right, well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right.
Why don't we do it in the road?
That's it for Golden Gate Park, and now we're going to move on to other news in the world of bicycling here in San Francisco and New York, and maybe up your street. Send me in your information, what's going on, and I will add it to the calendar of things that are going on here in the world of cycling around the world. This is a worldwide podcast, but I always do New York and San Francisco because they're kind of emblematic of what's going on in the United States anyway, and around the world as well. In New York, I mentioned last month that our last podcast that Judge Salmon came out with a 23-page decision affirming critical mass's right to ride in the street on bicycles without a permit. You don't need a permit either to gather in the park beforehand. And you can advertise the ride. Yes, you still have freedom of speech for the time being. So the police are still being a little idiotic out on the street, but if you obey the laws and stay out of their way, things should be pretty good. So here we are, March Massness. It's March 31st will be the next critical mass. in Manhattan, and they have one in Brooklyn as well. Go and check it out and have fun this time. And the weather's getting nice. It should be a good thing to do. What else is happening in New York? Oh, they got these clowns. Oh, the Time's Up website has these people dress up as clowns and go and enforce the bike lanes. So since the cops aren't doing that, they're beating up on critical mass but keeping the biker lanes full of double parked cars. We got to send the clowns in. Send in the clowns. So the Still We Ride documentary is a movie about critical mass in New York. And Time's Up is sponsoring screenings of Still We Ride. So call them up, write to them, check their website, times-up.org. See about getting that movie played in your town. And that's New York. What's happening in San Francisco? Well, we also have Critical Mass March 31st, starting at 6 p.m. Justin Herman Plaza. We prefer to call it Pee Wee Herman Plaza. It's a world-famous coincidence. And it's organized by you. So get down there. SOMA, the South of Market Bike Lane Committee, is going to be meeting. Used to be on that committee myself back when I used to work in South of Market. And they're getting back into action. They want to figure out some new bike lanes to stripe in the area. Townsend, 2nd, 5th Streets. So they would like your help. They have good time. We had a great party. We got donated beer, ice sculpture, all sorts of stuff. We had some great parties to raise money and awareness. The San Francisco Ride for World Health, Saturday, April 1st, 8 a.m. at 6601 Sir Francis Drake Boulevard in San Geronimo, which is actually up in Marin. I don't know why it's called the San Francisco Ride for World Health, but it's in Marin. Participate in the first San Francisco Ride for World Health, whatever that is, on Saturday, April 1st, 2006, and help raise money for Partners in Health, a nonprofit organization that seeks to alleviate health problems in impoverished areas around the world. A 50-mile or alternate 30-mile route winds through Marin County and is held in conjunction with a cross-country ride that will be leaving from San Francisco the following day. They're asking for a $40 registration. It's a good cause. For more information, you can phone 510-459-6328. Or you can check out www.sfrideforhealth.org, the 4 being the number 4, sfrideforhealth.org. The 6th Annual Bay Area Women's Cycling Clinic, also Saturday, April 1st, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Lucy Stern Community Center, the Fireside Room, this is down in Palo Alto, 1305 Middlefield Road in Palo Alto. Learn what you need to improve your road biking handling skills, start road racing, or improve your racing strategy. Taught by women for women. The instructor is Nicole Friedman. She's a professional cyclist, 2-time U.S. national champion, and former member of the U.S. Olympic road team. So check her out. You can check out their website at bawcycling.com, BAWcycling, and click on Clinic. Or you can call 415-252-9047. And it says here, rain doesn't cancel. So, excuse me, tough gals. And this looks like this one's right up my alley. Maybe I'll meet one or two of you there. The San Francisco Oyster and Beer Festival. Yeah, I think I'm going to be there. That's on Saturday, April 1st. Also April 1st. Boy, it's a big day. 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Great Meadow at Fort Mason. It's the largest Celtic festival on the West Coast. It centers around the unique combination of oysters and stout. Music at this year's event include High Brazel, Mr. North, and Ewan Harrington. I think that's how you pronounce E-O-I-N. And others. Also featured the Whelan Academy of Irish Dance. And, of course, Cash will be there with the valet bike parking. So to volunteer, please call Bike Valets at sfbike.org. If you would like to volunteer to park bikes, that's always a good way to get in for free. And it's always kind of fun, actually. And for more information on the festival, visit sfoysterfest.com. And another thing that's right up my alley. There's a lot of stuff happening in the first week of April. Tuesday, April 4th, the People Dimension of Public Space. This is a Bikescape show. I can see it coming. A discussion with Dr. Jan Gehl and Alan Jacobs, the famous Alan Jacobs who designed Octavia Boulevard here in San Francisco. The boulevard that took over from the freeway that used to be there, that when it was demolished, he made a great public space. Alan Jacobs and Dr. Jan Gehl will be moderated by Dean Macris, San Francisco Director of Planning. The discussion will focus on Dr. Gehl's work in cities like Copenhagen, Denmark, and Melbourne, Australia, and Mr. Jacobs' extensive knowledge of the challenges and opportunities to improving our city streets. They will discuss how we can transform the way we plan, design, and maintain San Francisco public spaces with an emphasis on making them beautiful, safe, and sustainable places for public life. So that's Tuesday, April 4th, 5 to 7 p.m. in City Hall at the South Light Court. And one more thing I'll go through here. The San Francisco Zoo Ride, Sunday, April 9th. Bring the kids. 10 a.m. Meet at McLaren Lodge in Golden Gate Park. That's right around Stanion Baker, right around, I don't know, the end of the panhandle. Join us as we ride through the park and out to the zoo. We'll stop for a couple of hours and see how the new African Safari exhibit and more, and then we'll ride back for a different route, up Terravel and then left at Laguna Honda and then back to the park. So DB Architect, DB at dbarchitect.com. is where you want to send your email for information. So that sounds like fun. One more thing. Saturday, April 15th, an earthquake tour. It's the 100th anniversary of the biggest event in San Francisco's history. And what better way to commemorate the near destruction of the city than by having a bike tour? Please join us as we hit about a half a dozen points of interest along the trail of the 1906 earthquake. More info at www.bittercyclist.com. So check all those things out, and there will be another podcast between then and now anyway. I promise I will try really my hardest and get something out. And anyway, everybody have a really great time. Ride it like you stole it, people. Enjoy the weather, get out on the road, and take the lane. Bye now.
For room 104, the name's Herman, P.W. Herman.
No, nothing right now, Mr. Herman.